This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Lee, it's finally happening. What you and I have talked about for years.
Okay.
And it's fascinating to watch. Remember when Barack Obama said that his goal was to necessarily skyrocket the price of electricity?
Mm-hmm.
And Democrats went, yay, and voted for it. Okay. Well, we're here now in California. They must be so excited.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, they're not. They're getting what they want. And what did they want? It's what they voted for. $10 a gallon gas. Gavin Newsom is about to achieve this, Lee, because the two big oil refineries in the state are shutting down. Why? Because of Gavin Newsom's regulations. Shock is ensuing. Well, we can't afford that. Well, what were you going to put in your car?
Yeah, exactly.
What was your plan there? And we're getting the answer, Lee. You and I have always wondered, like, when the lights go out, what will be their reaction? Will they be happy they're going to have to live in a cave? Like a caveman? Or will they want the lights back on? I mean, it's so strange, these people. But it's happening. And get this. You know who they're blaming? Regulators.
Well.
The regulators carrying out the Gavin Newsom regulations they voted for.
Yeah, where do you think those regulations came from?
The governor you voted for who ran on it. Okay, here's...
And the legislature, too.
And the legislature. Very good. Here's the local television news. It's KCRA describing this disaster they have created.
Governor Gavin Newsom's administration was in the hot seat today as California is set to lose two oil refineries within the next year. Those closures will come after the governor and his administration pushed and successfully passed new regulations on the oil industry within the last few years.
Now, lawmakers are now worried how this is going to impact California drivers and their cost of living. KCRA 3 Capitol correspondent Ashley Zavala takes a closer look at what could be next.
And this is the governor that's probably highest on the list of potential Democrat presidential candidates. Try running on that.
$10 a gallon gas. Folks, and I only bring this up. I know you don't care about what goes on in California. I don't either. But this is what the Democrats are doing nationally. This is how this will end. This is exactly. Okay. So listen to this. All right. I'll just play it. This is comedy gold. They're all these people you're about to hear from are Democrats, from the regulators to the representative from San Diego, outraged that their policies are working to deliver to them the necessarily skyrocketing energy prices they love.
Democratic lawmakers signaling they may be losing trust with some of these agencies.
I know that what climate leadership does not look like, and that is $10 gas.
California's clean air push facing pushback from both political parties. Lawmakers worry state regulators have kept drivers, workers, and Californians overall as an afterthought as two oil refiners prepare to shut down within the next year. Those two account for about 20% of the state's oil refining capacity. Lawmakers grilled the leaders of the state agencies that regulate the oil and gas industry, including California Air Resources Board Chair Leanne Randolph, Vice Chairman of the California Energy Commission Siva Gunda, and the Department of Petroleum Market Oversight Director Ty Milder.
We have a crisis on our hand that may have been self-created by the actions that perhaps have been taken by the state, by regulators.
Democrat liberals, progressives, are finally facing the consequences of their policy. That's what's happening here.
And they don't like them, but I thought this is what they wanted.
It is exactly what they wanted. Exactly what they wanted.
They're like children.
Democratic Assemblyman David Alvarez and others frustrated after they were swayed to approve some of the latest regulations put on the oil and gas industry.
I think I also heard you say that another closure can lead to a significant increase in cost to consumers on the price of gas.
Yes, sir.
$10 an hour. They're saying $10 a gallon gas.
So what are you going to run those cars and trucks on? Is it going to be, fairy dust and unicorn poop? I mean, is that what you're going to run it on?
I don't think they know. I don't think they do. You know what? Probably the big part of the problem here, again, when your media lies to you, obfuscates, and leaves out critical details, that's how you end up here, thinking, "Oh, good, we're cutting fossil fuel." Okay, but what are you going to replace it with?
Right.
That part gets left out. They just don't report it. So, that's going. Now, listen, this is the best part. This is the best part. They're facing the horror of having to get this ship in their oil. Not only will that cost a ton of dough, they're going to have to buy it from overseas. Not only will that cost a ton of dough, leading to the $10 a gallon price, but they're going to have to pollute, the ships are, in order to get the oil to them. Oh, this is comedy gold out of California.
Gunda told lawmakers California will likely need to have oil imported from other parts of the world by ships.
So we really have only one choice there today, which is, you know, increasing imports. Based on our work right now, that will be very tight for the North.
Increase in imports, which means that you have more vessels who, what I've heard also, if you increase the vessels, then that means more emissions because we don't control those vessels and the emissions in which they bring. Is that correct?
But you are correct that additional marine traffic would implicate air quality issues beyond state waters that we do not regulate.
Now, this was just an informational hearing, so no action was taken. It's unclear exactly what the next steps will be, but Governor Newsom's administration is still apparently trying to come up with a plan to deal with those two upcoming refinery closures. Reporting at the state capitol, Ashley Zavala, KCRA 3.
Here's an idea. Don't close them. Good grief.
Yeah, but that would make sense, though. Democrats never do anything that makes sense, Lise. That's options obviously off the table.
Oh, boy. Now you see why folks are leaving California?
Oh, yeah, but this is the national policy. This is actually our national energy policy right now. I mean, we have Doug Burgum, God bless him, is running around and seeing, look, the lights are going to go out Spain style if we keep cutting coal. We used to have 40% of our energy when Barack Obama took office was coal. It will be zero by 2030. We are still on that track. He said, literally, the lights are going to go out in the factories. So we're still facing this just in a different way. Okay, now you're going to love this part, okay? Because how many years have I been talking about this? How many Battleground America podcasts have I done on this? That the real reason these Democrats did this, right, was so that they could use the dry pumps, no gas in them, what gas there is costs $10, the panic that induces to confiscate and take over means of production. What did I tell you? And here it is. In this Daily Caller article today, they are considering taking over the refineries, the government is. In other words, confiscating them to fix this disaster.
So you outlaw or overregulate something to where it goes out of business so that you can then steal the business from the legitimate owners.
You got it. That's how it works.
Now, welcome to your Marxist, socialist, communist state of California.
Yep, the California Air Resources Board, California Energy Commission, and Division of Petroleum Market Oversight, they're talking about what they're going to do. They're saying that the government may take these refineries over and run them themselves. Now, how did I know that was coming? My Battleground America listeners right now are saying, Terry, you're a genius. You're practically psychic. You should work at the Psychic Network. But no, I'm not. No. I read it in the New York Times, June 2nd, 2022. Every American should read this article. The headline is, you want to buy meat in this economy. What is it? It talks about how Biden should go ahead and declare a climate emergency, which he did. And I think they were going to do this part in the Kamala Harris or in the second term, because we have something called the Lever Act at the federal level. And that allows the federal government to seize means of production for energy and food in a national emergency or in a war. It's been used before, believe it or not. It was passed during World War II, and they did. The federal government actually did at one point. People don't know this. And they determined what foods, including what you could buy, what days of the week. And the New York Times wanted Biden to go ahead and do it again.
But when Trump declares a national emergency because of illegal immigration or because of unfair trade practices, Democrats sue to stop it. Nobody sued to stop the Biden administration from declaring the climate crisis, so-called climate crisis, a national emergency. Nobody sued there.
No, not at all. Nobody cared. Everybody was, wait, no.
No federal judge issued an injunction to stop this from happening.
No, that's exactly what they're doing. So you're seeing the blueprint in California. They create a crisis, drive gas prices up to $10. Even Democrats are screaming, and now they're saying we're going to take over the refineries. By the way, you want to know who this strategy comes from or where it comes from and how I know they'll do it? They've been doing it since 1848 when Marx published the Communist Manifesto.
Good old Karl.
Yeah, no, that's what they do. From Ukraine to the Soviet Union. China did this very successfully. Take over food, take over fuel, use it to control the population, starve people to control them. That's what Marxists do. They don't even have another playbook. And here it is in the New York Times. In 1917, months after the country entered World War I, Congress passed the Lever Food and Fuel Control Act, which granted the government sweeping power over the food supply. And they were, in 2022, saying Biden need to go ahead and take control of the fuel and food supply. It's already happening in California. It's the nationwide template, folks. We can either live through Ukrainian, Chinese, or Russian-style famine, or we can vote for people who aren't crazy. Your choice, but you're watching The Blueprint right now in California.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks who are new listeners asking, okay, Tara, you're talking about California. You said we have the same national policy. Yes, we do. Energy Secretary Doug Burgum, warning, we are on the verge of Spain-style blackouts if we continue with the current policy. What is that? That is to totally get rid of coal by 2030. Folks, the price of energy across the board in America went up 29% under Joe Biden. That was not an accident. Under Barack Obama, 40% of our energy mix was coal. We will have 0% by 2030, but we won't have significantly increased the wattage. It's a disaster.
And so we, in America, we became dangerously close to that right now. We've got parts of our country that are at risk for those same kind of what I'll call the Biden brownouts and blackouts to happen because we over-subsidized the intermittent and we over-regulated all of the baseload in an idea to, quote, save the planet. And all we're doing is potentially putting our own country at risk.
Again, that's Doug Burgum, our energy secretary. Okay, listen to this. He's explaining how China is going to kick our butt no matter what we do with the tariffs if Congress doesn't get its act together. And a lot of the fixes for this are in the big, beautiful bill. Take a listen.
If you were to ask me what's the thing that keeps me awake at night, this is the issue. And it's so thrilling and refreshing that you understand the scale, the magnitude, and the importance of this, the AI arms race, which is really driven by access to electricity. And China last year brought on 94.5 gigawatts of coal-powered electricity. 1 gigawatt is Denver. So they brought on 94 Denvers just last year. That's more than all we have today for all of California and all of New York is less than 94. So they added a New York and a California worth of electricity last year just from coal. They're still getting 60% of their base load from coal. And people may stop listening when they hear the word coal, but coal from an electricity standpoint, thermal coal is fantastic base load. It has, you know, all the characteristics to allow you to maintain amperage and voltage to keep a system going. And I think we just saw in Spain, you know, they were celebrating on April 12th of this past month that they'd shut down their last coal plant. And then a week after that, they were celebrating the fact that they had their first day of 100% renewables on their system. And then the next week, they were a global news story because people were trapped in subways, all airline flights canceled, hospitals were panicking with a lack of power because they had a rolling blackout and grid failure, because it just defies physics. You can't run an electrical grid with just intermittent power. You cannot run with something that is based in intermittent is the definition of solar or wind, because the sun doesn't shine at night and the wind doesn't blow every day.
If you're just tuning in and you're wondering, wait, what are we talking about? California is in crisis. Their last two big oil refineries are shutting down. That's 20% of their oil. They're looking at $10 a gallon gas. They're in a panic. So they're talking about seizing the refining factories, refining facilities that are shutting down because of their regulations. I said, it's absolutely classic. It's exactly what the USSR did, it's what China did during the communist revolution and then the secondary revolution in the 50s, and it's what Ukraine did too. Same thing, same play. Texter reminds me Venezuela did it as well. Chavez took over the oil industry in Venezuela. They quickly went from being rich to a third world hellhole. This is the Marxist playbook. It's what they're discussing in California right now. I wanted to point it out to you so that you would not doubt me when I told you. This is the article from the New York Times. It's yellow now. I keep it in a file because I know where they're going. You want to buy meat in this economy, where the New York Times is urging Biden, Kamala Harris to get on with it. Declare a climate emergency, seize means of production for energy and food, seize it all. So the goal of the Democrats is to drive up the price of this until it is crushing or the blackouts happen, and then they seize means of production, total power. They've done this so many times in so many countries. So many times and so many countries. Texter writes, Chair, go back to Obama administration. Maxine Waters' congressional hearing literally stated, this socialist wants to take over the oil industry. Of course they do. They just want power. They just want power. Okay, that all ties in. Trump knows he's got to save us, okay? Because here's the problem. China's on track by 2035 to have the 8 terabyte of power level that they need to crush us, and they will. It won't matter what the tariffs say or do or what's in place. Okay, right now, we are on track to have 3. China right now has 3. Folks, our factories don't be able to run. You're going to be able to have a factory here. Now you're going to have to go to China. And that's the Democrats' goal, destroy the country. Any way possible. Okay, meanwhile, a lot of what we need is in the big, beautiful bill. Because remember, Biden put the permitting, somebody operating the auto signature pen put the permitting process off limits and froze the whole dang, like you can see the line around the Coast Guard, right? So you need permits for exploration before you can get permits to drill. You need permits to test the drilling before you can get permits to go ahead and go for it. That's what they have shut down. They didn't shut down the active permits that's already pulling stuff out of the ground, but they're gutting us going forward, so we can't get the energy out of the ground. So Trump needs to reverse that. It's in the big, beautiful bill along with everything else. And he's asked, look, Musk seems to be kind of mad at you about the big, beautiful bill. And Trump finally responds to what Musk said on CBS. Which was this.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came
undermines along, the work the Doge team is doing. Okay, Trump's asked about it.
Mr. President, Elon Musk in a television interview criticized the one big, beautiful bill, saying he was disappointed it didn't cut enough, essentially, that undercut the Doge efforts. What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction's a lot of things. Number one, we have to get a lot of votes. We can't be cutting. You know, we need to get a lot of support, and we have a lot of support. We had to get it through the House. The House was We have no Democrats. You know, if it's up to the Democrats, they'll take the 65% increase. You know, if that doesn't get approved, this country is going to have a 65% increase in taxes and lots of other problems, big problems, almost bigger than that. But we'll have a 65% increase as opposed to the largest tax cut in the history of our country. We will be negotiating that bill, and I'm not happy about certain aspects of it, but I'm thrilled by other aspects of it. That's the way they go. It's very big. It's the big, beautiful bill. But the beautiful is because of all of the things we have. The biggest thing being, I would say, the level of tax cutting that we're going to be doing. We're going to make people really be able
to. And the energy stuff's in there too, to override Biden. And Congress knows that, and they're creating a hostage situation. Okay, you let us break the bank. You let us print and print and print and print and print. You let us go beyond what even Biden did. Let us raid the Treasury, and we'll give you what you need. That's what he's saying. Like, what do you want me to do? The good news is he's actually got a pretty good plan right now. I'll tell you what it is coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, the desperation to stop Trump. Folks, let me ask you a question. If they really thought Trump's tariffs were going to fail, they believed that. They were going to hurt the American economy, hurt American, you know, businesses, which Democrats are always trying to do themselves. Would they stop them? Would they try to stop them? No, they wouldn't. They'd let them go forward. It'd be the best thing ever because Democrats don't have any other ideas. Instead, they're suing to stop them. Why? They think they'll work. That's why. By the way, already on track to bring in Trump's tariffs, $255 billion per year to the Treasury, most of it without raising the prices of goods because producers are eating it. We don't know if that'll continue. I don't know. We hope it will. It's not working out so bad so far. That's why they're in a frothing panic. So they went to this three panel of judges, one of whom is a Trump appointee. Kind of embarrassing for Trump. Now, this court is an Article III court, and it was created to deal with individual trade disputes brought before it. It does not have the power to regulate the executive branch. It just made it up. So this is a massive power grab by this court to do this. Scott Bessent made a great point on this, the Treasury Secretary. He said, listen, the Senate, which gave Trump the tariff power, could stop him anytime it wants, but they're not.
Well, Brett, it seems highly inappropriate for the judiciary to wade in here when the Senate had the opportunity to override the president and didn't. So, you know, in terms of separation of powers, the Senate has chosen not to exercise their powers. And the president absolutely has the right to set the trade agenda for the U.S. This administration is committed to fair trade, and we are striking the best deals for the American people. And anything that the courts do to get in the way, they both harms the American people in terms of trade and in terms of tariff revenue.
Yeah, so we had another higher court basically overturn it for now. But in the meantime, Trump made a remarkable admission. And I've kind of been saying this to you for a while. He admitted he screwed up in his last term. But this is actually good that he sees this. If he couldn't see this, I'd be a lot more worried. Trump just admitted in a Truth Social post that he appointed bad judges who, quote, hate Trump, unquote, in his last term because he listened to the Federalist Society, which is supposed to be conservative, but really isn't, and that they took advantage of him because he was new in Washington. What do you make of this? 800-905-0989. They took advantage of him because he was new. He writes, the U.S. Court of International Trade incredibly ruled against the United States of America. He said the full 11-judge panel of the federal court has just stayed the order. So that's good. Tariffs are back on for now. Where do these initial three judges come from? How is it possible for them to have potentially done such damage to the U.S.? Is it purely a hatred of Trump? What other reason could it be? He said, I was new to Washington, and it was suggested that I use the Federalist Society as a recommended source on judges. I did so openly and freely, but then realized they were under the thumb of a real sleazebag named Leonard Leo, a bad person who, in his own way, probably hates America and obviously has his own separate ambitions. He openly brags how he controls judges and even justices of the United States Supreme Court. I hope that is not so, and I don't believe it is. In any event, Leo left the Federalist Society to do his own thing. He puts it in air quotes. I am so disappointed in the Federalist Society because of the bad advice they gave me on numerous judicial nominations. This is something that cannot be forgotten. With that said, he said, I'm very proud of many of our picks, but very disappointed in others. Okay. Yeah, I mean, Amy Coney Barrett, absolute disaster, said it at the time, got beat up by some of you. A lot of these judges were very easy to see through. Trump can't do everything, but at least he's admitting he made a mistake. Maybe he won't do it in the future. He put a lot of really bad people on the bench, and that's biting him right now. It's biting us right now. There's a lot of people who he should have better judgment about, including folks, whoever's giving him advice about Ukraine, because that was a disaster this week. And a lot, if you notice, I haven't talked a lot about Ukraine, what's going on there, because I was trying to understand it. And what was so bizarre about it, online investigative reporter Ian Miles Chong nailed this. Trump doesn't seem to know what's going on in the Ukraine war. He came out screaming at Putin, saying he's going mad, he's bombing people for no reason, he's killing civilians for no reason. And Trump was asked about that comment that he made and didn't seem to have basic information about what Ukraine is doing. I've been documenting this for a very long time. Every time that Trump gets really close to a major, and I'm talking Pulitzer winning kind of peace deal, NATO and Zelensky, which is just NATO, they're only using Zelensky, goes on a massive murder and bombing run inside of Russia to scuttle it. They've tried to kill Putin three times, and that's always been after Zelensky threatened to assassinate him. And so Trump was caught flat-footed, didn't seem to realize any of this was going on. Take a listen to this.
Can I follow up on that? A Russian commander reportedly said that Putin was almost caught in the middle of a drone attack from Ukraine. So do you have any...
I haven't heard that, but maybe that would be a reason. I don't know, but I have not heard that.
President Trump, Secretary...
Damn. Yeah, it was the largest drone swarm of the entire war. NATO sent it. Folks, only the West has the ability to know where Putin is and to hit him like that. So that's either the Israeli intel, our intel, or British intel. There's only three in the world that could do it. That's Western targeting. We may have even done that. He didn't know. And the internet, those of us who understand this conflict and have followed it since Obama started that war, which, by the way, that's not a conspiracy theory. You know who said that? Marco Rubio. Remember how angry the media got at him about a month ago? He said, it's a proxy war. We started it. Media lost their damn mind. He finally said it. That's our war. It's not even our war. It's Obama's war. It's Biden's war. He just screamed at Putin, condemned him. NATO followed by announcing in response that they were going to allow targeting anywhere inside Russia. And Trump had bad information. Whole time. Didn't even know the basics on the conflict. Look, he's got a gazillion hoppers in a fire. He needs new advisors on Ukraine. He didn't know the basics going on the ground there, including the massive drone swarm bombing in Russia, which is why Putin turned around after the assassination attempt, put 50,000 troops in the border. That's what you get. And here's the triple problem we got here. I suspect Trump doesn't know this either. You know how Hegseth smartly cut off all the supplies to NATO because they've gone rogue in February? And then Trump publicly ordered them, no, send the stuff. Send what? Send drones. You mean the ones bombing Russia? Those drones? And that is why Medvedev, last 24 hours, he's talking World War III. Folks, Trump's getting bad advice, and we are rolling into World War III. And now you've got Germany going, you know what? This is great. Yeah, we will just go ahead and hit anywhere we want inside of Russia. They're a NATO member. Folks, he has got to get this straightened out over the weekend. He has got to start getting better sources. I have a feeling it's Kellogg, but I don't know. This is the same thing with the judges. This is bad information. This is really frightening to hear him say he didn't know that. Folks, I told you that on Tuesday, the president didn't know it.
Can I follow up on that? A Russian commander reportedly said that Putin was almost caught in the middle of a drone attack from Ukraine. So do you have any
response? I haven't heard that, but maybe that would be a reason. I don't know.
Yeah, it's why he's bombing. It's why he's bombing. Wow. And folks, the odds are we're the ones doing the targeting for the bombing inside Russia, which is part of the nuclear doctrine of Russia for retaliation. He didn't know any of it. Wow. Fascinating video of it up on my X feed. It's Lavrov, and he's explaining, thank God they figured this out. He's explaining that Trump is not being fully briefed on what is going on the ground in Ukraine. That bad actors, he says, are giving Trump bad information through a filter. And that he needs to get new advice. And this just ricocheted around the internet. This clip I just played you of Trump admitting he had no idea about the assassination attempt against Putin. It's the third one. I mean, it matches perfectly with Zelensky threatening to kill him beginning of the month. Again. And they had the most massive bombing campaign of the whole conflict on Russian soil. Look, me personally, I don't care if they kill each other. Let them. I still want to be involved in it. And we are getting dragged into World War III. This is the same thing as Trump saying this morning with the judges. Hey, I got really, really bad advice last time. I'm sorry. I pointed a lot of bad people. Well, sir, you're getting really bad advice on Ukraine right now. You need to understand what is going on. What actually happened was, and by the way, children were killed inside of Russia. Russia turned around and bombed not civilian centers, but the center from which the drone was being launched in Ukraine. Trump didn't know. He didn't know about any of that. How can you not know that? There's accounts on X which are great for following this. And so Germany took advantage of it and went, ha, 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 cool. Now we get to launch long-range missiles. We get to launch medium-range missiles into Russia. We're taking all the limits off of them, and made it sound like the U.S. had approved it. By the way, it's still not clear if we did. It's very confusing. And Russia immediately pivoted to going, listen, we are going to hit you back. That is our nuclear doctrine. And they said they were going to start in Germany. All because Trump is getting bad advice. And so Lavrov is saying, like, wow, dude. The good news is the Russians get this now. And as soon as Lavrov started coming out and saying, okay, we get it. Trump didn't mean that. He doesn't really know what's going on the ground. He's getting bad advice. Basically, we're going to give him some leeway. And then Putin's people, and then Putin started talking about peace again. Okay, yeah, maybe we can come back to the table. Maybe we can't. But what he's saying is the bombing's got to stop. Bombing's got to stop. The problem is those drones that are flying over Russia, we sent them. We sent them. The only person with any sense in this right now, I hate to say, is Pete Hegseth. He cut them off. He stopped sending the equipment in February. Trump publicly busted him and said, keep sending it. Well, who do you think's raining the hell down on the Russians right now as Trump's telling them not to bomb back? It's us. It's not us personally. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but it's our equipment. Trump not knowing that is deadly dangerous. So I hate to say it, the only people who had their head this week to Russians. Thank God for that. Look, I get it. Trump can't know everything. It would be impossible. But whoever is advising him, he has got to get new advisors. I mean, when you have Mike Flynn, who was his old advisor, who the FBI convicted online begging and pleading, please understand, no, what you think is going on, Putin is not randomly bombing civilians. That is not happening. Please get better information. Folks, we came this close again this week to World War III. You know what needs to happen right now? We have to walk away. We need to walk away. Just walk away. Wash our hands in NATO. If Ukraine and Russia and Germany and France, they want to kill each other, fine with me. I don't care. It's not our problem. Walk away. Just walk away. We cannot send another American drone over another Russian city. It is playing with fire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.